Botan.
Good evening. Welcome to the November 7th, 2022 Board of Commissioners meeting for Emmett County. I ask you to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Roll call, please.
Mr. Dreyer?
Here.
Mr. Ahrens?
Here.
Mr. McGinnis?
Yes, here.
Mr. Wardall?
Here.
Mr. Batchelor? Mr. White?
Here.
Mr.
Ewing? Here. Mr. Batchelor is notified us he will not be in attendance tonight. Before you, commissioners, you have the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Motions are second?
Second.
Motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same side. We are now down to the consent agenda. There are five items on the agenda, and there's a motion, unless the commissioner wishes to have one removed from the consent agenda.
Chair, I move to approve the consent agenda and all items contained therein and authorize the county administrator to sign the attached items on behalf of the Board of Commissioners.
Second.
We have a motion to second. Any discussion on the consent motion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Mr. Coons?
Yes.
Mr. Wardle?
Yes.
Mr. White?
Yes.
Mr. McGinnis?
Yes.
Mr. Ahrens?
Yes.
Mr. Dreyer?
Yes.
We are now to the part of the agenda for public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board, please come forward, state your name. You have 3 minutes. Mr. Smith.
Good evening. Thank you. My name is Scott Smith. I live in Resort Township, and I want to comment on the proposed allocation of ARPA funding received by Emmett County. It's on your agenda tonight. ARPA funding provides a unique opportunity for the county to provide leadership in addressing some of the serious issues that confront many, maybe a majority, of the citizens of Emmett County. The survey carried out by the county to gather input on the allocation of these resources, as well as many other surveys and studies over the past several years, clearly identify these issues and needs: housing, public transit, and child care. The impact of these needs on middle and lower income residents of our county were clearly highlighted and aggravated by the COVID pandemic over the last 2.5 years. The allocation of $450,000 for public transit, decided at your special meeting on September 29th, is a very positive step and valuable use of these funds. Thank you for that. I'm also pleased that the county earlier this year restarted its homeowner rehabilitation and emergency repairs program. This is a positive step toward addressing the very critical issue we face here on the availability of safe and adequate housing affordable by those who live and work in Emmett County. And the recent zoning ordinance changes that you and the Planning Commission have made are great, and already have led directly to one new 36-unit housing development in the Brutus that would not have been possible before. I do appreciate the county has an accumulated backlog of capital spending needs. I strongly believe, however, that ARPA funds are not an appropriate resource to address these needs because they do not meet the basic purpose or criteria for the allocation of these funds. There are other ways to address those important needs. Instead, I think it would be extremely beneficial, appropriate, and strategic to allocate the full remaining balance of approximately $4.5 million to these three priorities identified by the community. It would show vision and leadership by the county on these issues and demonstrate that the county is and wants to be a constructive partner in efforts to build a resilient and thriving community. I support the proposal to leverage the county's ARPA funding by matching priority needs identified by other local governments and by nonprofit organizations in our community. But I think this would be much more strategic if you required that a majority of these funds be devoted to programs that address one of these priority areas. In particular, there are many opportunities for the county to provide strategic and much needed support for expanding affordable housing options. Investing ARPA funding in housing can have a major long-term impact on our economy and the well-being of our county. I suggested several specific possibilities for this in an email that I sent to you late last week, and there are surely others. There's considerable momentum now on the housing issue to build on. I hope you'll take this seriously into consideration as you decide the best allocation of these funds.
Thank you
very much.
Anyone else wishing to address the commission at this time? Mrs. Buckmaster?
Carla. Here. Carla, you gave her your notes. Is this all for me? Or is this...
Last month, on October 17th, I attended a Petoskey City Council meeting and heard Mr. Emmel of NLEA speak there. City minutes from that meeting state, quote, "The city manager reviewed that the city would re-engage with NLEA and $10,000 is included as part of the proposed 2023 budget." My main questions for NLEA tonight are, one, specifically, do townships, cities, villages, businesses, industries, or nonprofit organizations, any of them, in addition to the county's annual $80,000 plus payment to the NLEA, do any of them have to pay the NLEA additional money to receive service from NLEA? Number two, Bear Creek Township now does not pay extra and separately to NLEA. For instance, would Bear Creek Township have to pay separately and extra to attain service from NLEA? If not, why? Then would Petoskey have to pay an additional $10,000? If so, what is the reason to pay extra? Three, if other Emmett County entities must pay extra, then what is the county specifically and differently getting for $80,000 plus dollars? If county entities must pay extra, then why does tonight's NLEA report include what NLEA is doing for economic development assistance for other than the county's $80,000 plus? As noted in the NLEA County Contract Attachment A, 5, I am requesting to see the county list of NLEA properties available or considered a priority for development. 6, what exact economic development training by NLEA, specifically for the Emmett County Board of Commissioners and selected department heads, has transpired? 7, NLEA claims they had 2 new jobs created this year, but no mention about the mass loss of jobs when NLEA claims they helped Dyke and Poo move from Emmett County to Boyne City, Charlevoix County. How many jobs did Emmett County lose this year? NLEA, finally, in the last 2 months of this year, is attending Emmett County Brownfield Redevelopment Authority meetings at the invitation of the authority. Servicing Brownfield is a contractual service that should have been covered the first 10 months this year, too, without special requests. NLEA calls it economic assistance because one staff has been attending Economic Development Corporation monthly meetings in Mackinac City. So what assistance is that? Report results. Perhaps county efforts and money would be better spent on a county website with links and information regarding economic development specific to Emmett County. Get a county website person hired. That is a job that you could create and retain. Or how about spending the $80,000 plus on a county grant writer that could do more of what NLEA states they have helped with? Not that NLEA actually has written a grant. Just said they assisted. Use the $80,000 plus to hire people who are dedicated to Emmett County's needs. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to address the commission at this time? Sarah?
Good evening. Sarah Yorick speaking on behalf of Northwest Michigan Habitat for Humanity.
The stated purpose for the American Rescue Act dollars is to fight the pandemic and support families and businesses struggling with its public health and economic impacts, maintain vital public services, and build a strong, resilient, and equitable recovery by making investments that support long-term growth and opportunity. Under the ARPA final rule, low to moderate income households qualify for ARPA assistance. This assistance can be in the form of programs or services to support long-term housing security, including the development of affordable housing. In the county's recent ARPA needs assessment, 80% of constituents identified affordable workforce housing as the number one issue impacting our region. That's no surprise, because all issues we are facing are impacted by affordable housing in some way. And so this is where we should invest the greatest amount of this one-time Rescue Act dollars. Not only is housing the greatest need, but investment in housing is an investment in economy recovery that results in immediate and downstream economic returns and increased tax revenues. In short, an investment in housing means an investment in keeping the community we love strong and thriving. Emmett County has an opportunity to use these dollars to make a meaningful, long-term impact. While reviewing the ARPA spending proposal before you, I humbly ask you consider the intended purpose and spirit of these dollars and the community's response to where they would like to see these dollars go. I ask that a specific allocation be made for housing and that the amount of this allocation be fiscally in line with the needs of the community. As a representative of Habitat for Humanity, a developer of affordable housing whose activities directly align with the language set forth in the ARPA final rule, and with a project already underway that could put these dollars to immediate use, Habitat would like to also put forth a proposal for direct ARPA considerations. Our Foundations for Our Future project will bring over 40 new single-family homes to Emmett County by 2025. To date, we have 14 homes underway with another round of builds to begin next spring. We have raised $3 million for this project and have $2 million left to raise in order to make this work possible. With how our program works, this $5 million in capital will turn into over $12 million in a home construction. This is possible because once a home is built, it is sold to an approved buyer at a cost that is attainable for moderate income households, and the dollars we receive at closing are reinvested back into building more homes. For example, a $1.5 million investment would result in the construction of at least 17 homes before funds are exhausted. I think it is important to remember that this work is not just about homes, it's about families. Families who will stay employed at our businesses and enroll in our schools. Families who will choose to and be able to put down roots and become invested in our community. These are the people who make up the fabric of our community, our teachers and medical assistants, our trades professionals and firefighters. Families who are also choosing to invest in their own financial stability and success. These are the families we need in Emmett County. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to address the commission? Yes.
Hello, good evening. My name is Emily Baum, and I'm here on behalf of Northwest Michigan Habitat for Humanity as well. I want to thank you for your dedication to our communities and the hard work that you put forth as our county commissioners. I wanted to be here today on behalf of the hundreds of voting families and individuals that are being forced out of communities that I speak with on a daily basis, and they are here asking for housing. I talk to them every single day. We have get calls constantly, and they are in need of housing, and this is what our community needs these dollars for, and I just wanted you to consider it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to address the board? Seeing no other hands, we'll move on to appearances. First is the hybrid DWI drug court.
Yes.
Thank you. And I am Jenny Deegan, and I'm from the 57th Circuit Court. I did provide an overview of our request in my hearing. I'm on our new business as well, so is it appropriate for me to ask for that now? Or
I think that could be a part of it. You asked to kind of give a history of the court, so if you could do that now, then
okay.
As we get later, there's acceptance of the grant.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, so I don't want to go into too much detail because I did give that overview to you so that you had some information coming into this. But just so that you know, I've been on the bench now for about a year and a half. I was contacted almost immediately when I came onto the bench from a number of community agencies asking about the possibility of a drug court in our community for the circuit court. Our district court and probate court already operate a number of recovery courts, but this would be simply for our court. And to date, we haven't had one. So I started looking into it. I do have familiarity with it. I was the defense attorney for the probate court, recovery court, both in Charlevoix and in the counties when I was in private practice. But putting together one in our court is a daunting procedure, I will say that. But we really kind of got into it, ran into it, and started to look into the process. And when we did that, my court administrator, myself, Ms. Fitzgerald, have done some work here in the last year, including putting together a steering committee to find out if we would have the energy and response from our community and the leaders that would have to be part of the report, the recovery court process. And we found that there is great support for it in our community and certainly within the players that would be necessary to make it work. And so as you see on our steering committee, we've got members of our Sheriff's Department, our Prosecutor's Office, the Probation Department, Harbor Hall, we have our Defense Consortium, we have a public representative, and that being Mr. Koontz. And we also have a member of the Little Traverse Band, which is Alyssa Harrell. And she's really been instrumental in getting this process put together for us because as we have gone into this process, we realize we're unique in our court that we don't have a position in our court right now that can absorb the requirements of doing a planning phase for the drug court. We have two employees. They are overworked at this particular point, and there's a level of expertise that really requires a drug court they just don't really possess that at this point. And so Ms. Harrell has been assisting us through this process, and so part of my grant request in a few minutes will be regarding her position and some of the other requests. But in any event, overall, the problem-solving courts in the last probably, I'd say, 20 to 25 years or 30 years in the state of Michigan and across the country have really proven themselves to be very effective in dealing with drug and alcohol and recidivism in our communities. And so we have really looked to Sheboygan County. They've got a similar population, similar issues that we're dealing with. They've had a recovery court now for about 15 years, or almost maybe 20 years. It's been very successful. And so we've met with their leaders. I've met with the judge to find out, you know, if it's worth the time and energy, and overwhelmingly, not only speaking to Judge Gauthier, but other judges around the state that handle these kind of cases or these kind of courts, overwhelmingly say it is effective and it's a positive. And so, as we would be looking at it, it would be a very structured program. It would be probably an 18 to 24 month program. Some of these nuances, of course, would be worked out as we go through the planning phase. But the idea would be essentially, I think, to have about 20 to 30 people within our population going through this process. It is highly intensive. It is not an easy way out for the participants. But at the end of the day, if they successfully participate, they will have been sort of given wraparound services in a very comprehensive fashion. And the point is to try to get them to a point where they really never come back to the court system, or if they do, it's for minor offenses. And overall, the statistics show that for every dollar that you're putting into this process, you're receiving between $4 to $5 back in terms of benefits around the community. Because I'm sure as you all know, maybe from your own life experiences, it's not just the court system that's involved when you've got somebody who's addicted to drugs or alcohol. It permeates their entire life, and it permeates our community through the children, through education, through unemployment, all of these things. It's really a suck from the community. And so the purpose of the recovery court is to try to make them really what we would call community contributors. And so as I noted, from my perspective, there is a need for this program in our community, and there is great support. But we would ultimately
if we're going to undergo this, we really want the support of our county, and that would be including you as commissioner. So if you have any questions for me with regard to what I've given you, I'm happy to answer questions.
So, Judge Deegan, it looks like to get through the planning phase, we've got this $8,000 grant, and then we still need $6,677.
Yes. Yeah. So it's sort of an interesting process. We put the grant together and gave it, and we vetted it through the state, through the grant community and the powers that be there, and they told us, you know, ask for $15,000, you're, you know, basically going to get it. That's what you need for a planning phase. And lo and behold, of course, we didn't get it. So I went back and spoke to them, and they said the cuts had been made across the board to all programs. And so ours was just, I think, a percentage as they had allocated across the board for everybody. But in looking at the amount, what I really want to emphasize is that for us, we can't absorb in our office itself with my current staff. I can't absorb the planning phase. I just simply can't. We don't have the manpower to do it. Even if we have the will, which I think we do, we just don't have the capacity to make that happen and also do all the other things that we have to do on a regular basis. And so if that were the case, it probably won't go off the ground, to be honest with you. I don't see the point of kind of going halfway into a recovery court. If we're going to do the planning phase, I want to do it correctly. And what we've really isolated and identified is that Ms. Harold is willing to help us. She has the expertise to do that. She ran the program, the local tribal program. She's now at the state level doing the training for all of the tribal programs in the state. She has the best practices that are required both at the state and at the federal level if we're moving towards federal grant requests, which we probably ultimately would be. She is well familiar with the process and is a wealth of information. And so what we've identified is that she would be able to provide us for 2 hours a week in that first year towards the planning phase. And I really find that to be probably the bare minimum that we would need to make sure that this is going to be done correctly, frankly, from my standpoint. I don't see the point of doing it if we're not going to have the best program. I'd like to be the best program in the state, let alone in the area. But in order to do that, you need to make sure that the structure and that the foundation has been done correctly. So part of the grant request would go towards both her expenses, but we also would want to pay our defense attorney his time. Frankly, that we've set aside for him would be minimal compared to the time that he's already put into the process. And I will say that Ms. Harold is also given, at this point, volunteer hours for us to get into this point because she's not going to get paid for that. And she knew that going into it. The other part has to do with the training that would take place. It is run by the state every year. And it's really, it's required programming. But it's really necessary, I think, at the planning phase to start to try to figure out what how your program is going to look. I mean, there's a structure that we all follow, but each program has its own nuances and specialties. So, and to be clear, we are looking at a hybrid court. It would be a drug court, so substance abuse, also alcohol. So that's the hybrid. So we would really have, they would overlap in some ways, but they would also have their own separate structure. Because we've identified that as being a need in our community. Both really are needed. And I will say that I just sent in somebody last week that I wish that I had the program up and running because I think he would be a very good candidate for it. Instead, he's going to be in jail now for probably close to a year, which, you know, it's also one solution. But there's also a solution to getting people back to where they're in the community and they're making good strides and able to actually get treatment at the same time. So.
Is there, we've got room in this 2023 budget, I think, $6,600.
They're asking for the 23 budget, $6,000. I think we could. There's also North County Mental Health that I think that we need to go forward and talk to them, and we can work with the judge about putting the grants in there for some additional funding besides the $6,000. But out of our operating budget for 23, I think if this board thinks it's important, we certainly can find $6,300.
Would this be an appropriate time to make a motion for that?
Well, let's wait. Let's see if any board members have any questions for the judge. Any questions for Judge?
Sure. First of all, I think between you and Cheryl, what percentage of your total staff is in the room tonight?
Well, let's see. That'd be 75%.
How does that work? Yes.
Because the circuit court looks big, but it's very small.
We operate on a very, I give a lot of kudos to Ms. Fitzgerald. I mean, she runs our office in such a dynamic way that we try to keep costs down as much as possible.
Well, that's why we featured her in a magazine at North Central many years ago when she was a student, didn't we? You did. The question I have, Judge, and your summary is very well done, very clear, and I'm 100% supportive. When you talk about the alcohol or the sobriety component, how does that mesh with district court?
So that's a good question, but they're two different animals, honestly, because the district court is handling the misdemeanor offense. So if you're charged with an OWI third, so that means you've had at least three drunk drivings. You can't stay at the district court level. So then you come up to felony court. We don't have the services that they're able to offer. Their program is intense, but it's intense for somebody who is not at that high level offense as a felony drunk driving would be at that point.
And we've talked in years past with the previous district judge and the current one about their sobriety court, which is intense and it's labor intensive. And it sounds like yours, when implemented, would probably be just as intensive, right?
It would be.
Because you are trying to change a pretty serious addictive behavior.
Yes, it's it increases the amount of time that I'm putting towards. We've got to delineate, a certain number of hours of court time each week towards this process. We've talked to the players that are on the steering committee. A lot of those are going to move over and be actual team members, and they're willing to put forth the time and effort to make it happen. I think mainly because they've seen the benefits out of the district court.
Yeah, and you've said Harbor Hall is part of this.
Harbor Hall will be part of this, yes.
Great.
Yeah.
My wife's involved with Harbor Hall. She's just a huge supporter. So, anyway, I think it's terrific.
Thank you.
Any other commissioners? Mr. Kuntz, I'd ask that we move that your request into the grant application for new business. Item one. We'll do it all at one time.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Next appearance, we have the NLA, Northern Lake Economic Alliance.
I'll wait till slides get up here.
Good evening, Chairperson White, members of the Commission. Thank you for the opportunity to address the Commission this evening. I'm David Emmel, privileged to be the President of the Northern Lakes Economic Alliance, just starting year two in my role. I'm a resident of Pleasant View Township in Emmett County, as are a number of my team members here are residents of the county, as well as residents of Sheboygan County and Charlevoix. Objectives for tonight are to do kind of a quick overview of the NLEA, talk a little bit about some of our activities for the county in 2022, and kind of finish with a review of some of the strategic priorities for the Northern Lakes Economic Alliance. In 2024, coming up in a couple years, we will celebrate 40 years of impact in Northern Michigan. We're very proud of that. Our mission has been constant, to grow the economy and enhance the prosperity and quality of life for all residents in our service region. Economic development is a creation of wealth from which community benefits are realized. And to do that, economic development is also very much a private sector activity, where community development, to differentiate the two, community development is more of a public sector activity. As a public-private partnership, the Alliance is a bridge, really, that connects the two in order to increase the overall vitality of the community. Economic development does not happen. approach, which advances the economy of the region. As a public-private partnership, we depend on investors to further our mission. Not every entity from the public or private sector are investors today. Our board has made it a strategic priority, I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, to grow the number of both public and private sector investors to grow the impact of our mission. What we do today is drastically different than what we did yesterday. The challenges we have of housing, child care, are now, and transportation are now economic development imperatives. 2 years ago, in pre-pandemic, they were not as if they were important issues, but they were not really viewed as economic development issues. Infrastructure demands, water, sewer, broadband, are all elevating in nature, and we're seeing that those pressures continue to occur between most of our local units of government. We're also leaning in heavily into really trying to build and map out a robust entrepreneurial ecosystem for our region. We know that our entrepreneurs and the startups that we have here come in a variety of different forms, and so we're working into that arena as well. We function very much like a cooperative. Communities have access to resources and skill sets that they don't necessarily have the capacity or ability to employ at a local level. Businesses need the ability to effectively navigate federal, state, county, and local unit government processes, which is what we do. This is a quick slide. Core partners for our organization that have been around for a number of years. We have a 30-year-plus relationship with Michigan State University Extension. And that's a critical part of what we do as an organization. Our board of directors is made up of 28 individuals. Each county of our four participating counties chooses five members for our board. One of those must be a county commissioner. We have a preference as well for having county administrators, and so we do, for the first time in a long time, have county administrators from all four of our counties represented on our board. Just a quick overview of staff. We have 8 full-time and contracted staff. Myself, Buck, Jessica, Chris, and Sam, who are here with me this evening, are full-time. Folks on the bottom of the line, Eric is a volunteer for our organization, has been for a number of years. Many of you know him. Sarah, the Sarahs, as we call them, bookkeeping and communications, are both contract individuals for our organization. Each staff member has a unique background, which is complementary to our organization and to our mission. We add management capacity to our investor communities, and I talked about that earlier. It's one of the things that we're good at. It's one of the things that we do. Areas of specialty: economic development, grants management, broadband development, grant writing, statistical analysis, and looking at the demographics and understanding the challenges that we have and what makes up the economy in our communities. Accounting and communications, grant administration, and one thing of special note is Jessica and our team is the certified community development block grant administrator on our team, and that's important for communities who are engaging in community development block grants. We provide assistance with DDA and local authority establishments, business assistance, expansion, new locations, relocations of businesses, and then the other part of really kind of complement of what we do is around education and networking opportunities for businesses and communities. We strive to move projects forward that align with your vision and plan. And in Emmett County's master plan, we identified this slide really represents kind of the 13 key action items that are strong in community and economic development that maintains Emmett County's rural character. Let's take a look for a second at just a couple of things in terms of the county and what's happening in the county. You'll see by this that roughly 3 in 10 employees in our region travel. They work in a different county in which they live. One of our counties in our 4-county service area is the largest supplier of labor in our region, and that's Sheboygan County. Most people don't know that. Nearly 65% of their population leave the county every day. They come to Emmett County, they come to Otsego County, they come to Charlevoix County, but a large percentage of them come to Emmett County. fill the jobs. And so what we do in Emmett County supports the livelihoods of a lot of individuals in Sheboygan County as well. When you look at kind of composition of our economy in Emmett County, you can see that the largest employment sector is accommodation and food service at roughly just under 3,000 jobs, roughly 19% of the jobs in our region. Second to that is healthcare. Third is retail, trade, and fourth is manufacturing, and fifth is construction. Pre-crisis of housing crisis or economic downturn in 2007, if you looked at it on a graph, you would see that construction jobs in our region, in the state of Michigan, in the United States, were very high. And today, they're much lower than they were. And in fact, they have continued to drop. We've plateaued a little bit. But if we talk about housing and housing challenges, one of the biggest challenges we have is we do not simply have enough people working in the trades in housing to support the housing demand that we have. And that is evident across the state of Michigan. And it's really evident across most Midwest states. When you look at this, and this doesn't, I think, maybe do it justice, because this kind of maybe over-amplifies because of just the scale of the graph. When you look at population, it makes it look like it's having a big change. It's really not.
I hate to interrupt, but when I saw that, the scale is so screwy that in that decade, population was flat. Because if you start looking at the numbers, we added 40 people a year. So it's really flat.
Yeah, it's really one. When you look at 2010 to 21, which is the time frame on this graph, it's really 1.2% increase in population.
Yeah, and so then the labor force did drop more, but the population...
So yeah, this graph really, we'll have to figure out a way to readjust this so that it doesn't make it look like there's this dramatic shift happening, because it really isn't. But more importantly, our labor is dropping. And so in that same time frame, we've lost roughly 2,000 people from our labor force in Emmett County, and that's about an 11% drop in that period of time. And that's not insignificant. So you talk about what is economic development. Economic development really seeks to increase private investment in the region. Private investment ultimately leads to job creation and opportunities for our residents in our communities. Investments also lead to increased tax dollars to our local jurisdictions to provide services. Having a balanced approach to economic development in northern Michigan is important, so one industry doesn't negatively impact the other. And you know from composition of our region and our communities, that we have a relatively dynamic and complex economy here. There are communities downstate where it's high and heavy manufacturing, where there's almost no tourism. So we have a balance to figure out how to maintain. Private investment also will take the burden off residential taxpayers and make living in Northern Michigan more affordable. That's the general construct. Community development, though, speaks really to projects to improve quality of life. It can be strongly linked to economic development. But these projects do, again, speak directly to quality of life. And helping communities implement their vision is one of the things that we do in that regard. Quality of life projects, such as historic preservation, parks, trails, waterfront nodes, community assets, public improvements that add to the community's identity and sense of place. So we all hear often over the last several years, especially from the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, the focus on place-based community and economic development. We are very much part of that. We speak in terms of our role in the context of ASSIS. We assist communities to realize their collective vision. We assist businesses to grow and thrive. And to do that, the result of that is to provide family-supporting jobs for our citizens and to support a balanced approach to maintaining our economic diversity, which I talked about a minute ago. In 2022, our first priority in welcoming Emmett County back into the Alliance was to increase our staff capacity. Chris Bauer joined our staff in May of 2022. After a bit of a search, our next priority was then to re-engage our business and community leaders through retention visits and relationship building. And we've been working diligently on that. The next priority after that has been to rebuild and regrow both public and private sector investment in this public-private partnership. We've assisted in a number of projects in Emmett County. These activities are detailed in the report that was provided in your packet. So I hope you've all had a chance to take a look at that. I will say that Commissioner Ahrens, who is representative on our board, has been pushing us hard on this for the last several months. And so thanks to him for helping keep us on task and keep us moving forward here. We also provide a very much needed link between the private sector and public sector. I talk about that often. We can help guide, we often help guide projects for local units of government to a resolution that benefits all parties. We're here, we're engaged, actively supporting community and economic development in our county. Talk a little bit about some strategic priorities that will continue to be our focus. As you notice from a previous slide, our labor pool has been shrinking. Most of our manufacturing and other businesses from across our region are having challenges finding talent. There are a number of barriers: housing, childcare, transportation sometimes is an issue, but regardless, we need more working age individuals to keep our economy robust and support the community assets and quality of life we have here. So that is a significant and number one strategic priority for us. Two, we've added to our staff, as previously noted, we're now building our staff skill set through credentialing and certification. So we're working hard in that area. Community infrastructure needs, such as water and sewer infrastructure, exist in every county, city, township, village across our region. Emmett County is no different. Interlocal agreements are one way communities collaborate to address these needs. And we work closely with local units of government to collaborate and partner to get that done. Three, the alliance is designed much such that both public and private investment is needed to fund local and regional economic development. This includes counties, townships, cities, villages, in partnership with private sector employers, both in the for-profit and nonprofit sectors. Within the next month, we're going to be rolling out a new private sector investment structure, so you'll see that and hear more of that. Lastly, we need to ensure that everyone has a clear understanding of what economic development is and how this effort impacts and affects our quality of life in the region. In 2022, we launched our first annual economic symposium where we had nearly 300 attendees. We will be doing that again in May of this year, and so we look forward to seeing you all at that. And then also in early May or in early 2023, we're going to be launching our annual economic development training for all county elected, appointed, and staff positions. So the thought on that is at least start a baseline for everyone, and then going forward, whether it's people want to see that as a refresher, we will be doing that on an annual basis sometime after the first of the year. Finally, in early 2023, we will be providing a comprehensive report to the board summarizing our 2022 activities. This is our mandate in our service agreement. And so with that, I'd like to thank County Administrator Boyer, Tammy in particular, other members of the staff who over the last several months we've worked closely with, and we look forward to a high level of engagement going forward.
Opening for board questions to Mr. Emmett.
Mr. Emmett, I would give you this copy of Carla Buckmaster's request. I'm not asking you to answer any of them tonight, but so that you have that, so that you could get with her possibly and appreciate the information, and I look forward to those reports. I know that that was something that was promised to us, and thank you, Neil, for pushing that forward, and I know that the new board that will be coming on will be looking for those as well.
The Harbor Springs DDA, we have an action item tonight. I won't predict the outcome, but does the City of Harbor provide any payments to NLEA for your services over there?
They do not at this point.
Okay, that's I wasn't looking for a gotcha thing. Emmett County government is the landlord for a $12 million business in Harbor Springs that is losing almost $2 million a year because of a workforce shortage. That's Bay Bluffs, the Emmett County Medical Care Facility. Networks Northwest is providing a service to Bay Bluffs to engage in retention of staff, but it is bigger than that. And I'm not going to ask you to respond tonight, and it may not quite fit the mission of NLEA, but I would like you to take some time with your staff and think about an institution that we have that has such a serious employment problem that 56 beds are empty, and each bed is worth $130,000. And if you and your crew can, if you think it's part of your mission, and I'm not going to ask you to respond tonight, but it's a serious issue for the county. So I just want you to give a little thought to that.
Yeah, we'll certainly do that. You know, as I noted earlier, you know, healthcare is a very large employment sector in our region, and we need a strong, robust, and diverse healthcare delivery system. I'm going to spend a good part of my life as a hospital administrator. I understand it very well. I understand the challenges of long-term care and the staffing challenges and the economics around
that. Well, I will truly say then that any observations that you can provide would be greatly appreciated.
Certainly.
Finally, if I could, do one more quick thing. Can you tell us about Daikoku?
Yeah, so I think, what would you say, Jessica? Day two? I was at the second day I was there. So our involvement with Daikoku Jervis Webb was very limited and very simple. We were asked to work with the City of Boyne City, Boyne Valley Township, on 425 agreement in order to keep Daikoku Jervis Webb from leaving the region. Not from leaving Emmett County, but leaving the region. We got, I think, fairly close to a point in time in that dialogue with the leadership of Jervis Webb and Daikoku, where they were seriously considering looking at moving the entire facility out of the region. So part of our activity was to ensure that we had a successful 425 agreement between the city and the township. There were some challenges with that, but we successfully worked through those, got to a reasonable 425 agreement between the city and the township, which allowed that project to move forward. Did we directly impact the retention of those jobs? I think probably indirectly, but I think it's in a minimal role. It was really more, our focus was really around ensuring that the township and the city could reach an agreement whereby the development site could occur.
Thank you.
If they have left the region, how many jobs would have been done?
What do you remember?
80.
Yeah.
And finally, Dave, if you have any thoughts about Bay Bluffs, and I'm not going to ask you to respond in any way tonight, but if you have any observations that you'd like to share, I'm the county board's rep to the Bay Bluffs board. I've been involved with Bay Bluffs for almost 10 years. I'm going off the county board, so that responsibility will go away, but my concern for it remains. And because at any point, if it's appropriate, if you and I can talk about that, any thoughts you have, I'm not asking for a report or anything more fancy than just a conversation, I would be most grateful.
Certainly. Happy to.
Any other questions? Mr. Boyer, I would ask that both of these reports, if they can go on the county website.
They are right now under the packet, but we can certainly put them on there too.
Yeah, in our packet, but I'd like them on public on the website.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Any other questions? No, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Next item on the agenda is the administrator's report.
Thank you. Airport, just a quick update on that. The apron project is going as expected. We're on schedule. Hopefully the weather stays good. We did, I think you noticed that we got notification from SkyWest that they're changing our flights again. We now have they call a tag route with Alpina, so we're sharing flights. We're still maintaining the number of flights, but we're now getting hit with Alpina. So Detroit, Alpina, Palestine, and it rotates. But, 12 flights are still going on. We've let our local and state representatives know. We're doing what we can to try to get back to normal. SkyWest and all the airports are, or the airlines are blaming staffing shortages, just as you talked about, that we have pilot shortages and staff shortages is a problem that they continue to tell us they have. So we're hoping at some point in time that some of the pressure we put on and our elected officials will help get us back to those nonstop flights without having to stop another one. But for right now, we've got the tag flights that are started, that will begin December 1st.
And they've done that in years past with Alpina.
They've done it. Obviously, that's not something that we want to see. We want to see continue to run the direct flights, but do what we can.
It looks like the federal subsidy is going to be split between the two.
Correct. Right. As long as we have a tag flight, we're not going to pay 100% of that subsidy. That's not when you have a second airport in stop, so that will be split. Veteran Affairs, and I don't want to take away, but they do have a breakfast coming up November 11th. Our veterans, it's the second year they put this on. Last year they had over 400 people attend the breakfast. It will be at the casino on Veterans Day. It's from 7 in the morning till 10 a.m. and it's open to all vets and their family members. Sorry for taking it if I stole that from you. Budget preparations. I think Pam sent you guys out some dates. We certainly need to schedule those dates. So if you could look at those dates, let us know what will work for you. That would be helpful. Parks and Recreation, the shoreline restoration project finished. They had over 25 contractors on site. It's used as a training for stabilization of the waterfront, and they bring in contractors to show them how to do it. We get the labor for that, and then they approved the shoreline. This is the second project we've done out at Petoskey, and it's certainly a nice way for us to stabilize that shoreline without us having to use our staff and using grant funding to do that. Planning and zoning, I gave you an update on planning and zoning, what's going on there. From one of the things that we had talked about is tonight was brownfield redevelopment and some of the projects that are coming up. And NLEA is helping us with two projects on the books right now that we're looking at, the lofts at Lumber Square, and Emmett Street, and Michigan Maple Block are two programs that potentially will come forward. I think one is scheduled to come before this group in December. Our legal counsel continues to work updating the zoning ordinance and really kind of a revisit of all of our ordinance, so we thank them for helping us out with that. And the Petoskey Chamber, I see Nikki here tonight. Maybe she wants to talk about the child care funder. Did she leave? She just left. All right. The Chamber and North Central Michigan College are doing a child care initiative and ask for support not only from the business owners but also the employees there. So there's two surveys online right now to help out as we talk about the needs in the community, and child care is one that they're trying to work with. And I could just mention that we were at the college this morning. Mike and I took a tour. Dr. Finley took us through the campus, and I can tell you that the class that had the most people in was the nursing program. So it was good to see that. Not only do we need help, but the hospital certainly needs help. Thank you.
Any questions for the administrator? Thank you, Mr. Boyer. Moving down to unfinished business, allocations of the American Rescue Plan Fund. Mr. Boyer, can you
just go to the next page? This is just a revisit to come back to you to talk about ARPA funds, kind of talk to you a little bit about what we've done in the past, the allocations of the $6.4 million, what we previously distributed, the $985,000. There's a list of that. That was for a list of projects that we had salaries that we paid. Pays for NLEA as one of the list. It's paid for some of the radio systems, some of the costs for consultants being on board and also for the staff person working on that. So what we have left in front of you, ones that we've also approved, was the transportation, Pedestal Road, and the signs. We approved that at the last one. We also approved for the clerk, the software program, and transit. We also approved the $450,000. So road commission, $414,000, $27,000 for the software program, and that leaves us basically $4.5 million. What we present to you tonight is three different ways to look at funding: the townships, villages, and cities, matching fund grants, each community being able to get a grant up to $50,000. That money can be towards anything that ARPA would approve, the matching grants. So if we give $50,000, they're going to have to match either with cash or in-kind services to do something ARPA-related. Capital improvement, we've had conversations on that. We're looking at $3 million for capital improvements for our facilities. We all know what our needs are from the proposals or the reports that we've shared with you. And then finally, that we had $500,000 allocated toward community action programs, housing. The thought was to partner with a nonprofit there where they would match those funds, so the $500,000 would turn into $1 million. Happy to answer any questions.
I have some thoughts I'd like to share. So I feel like we really have a moral obligation to do as much as we can about housing at this point. We have this survey that the overwhelming response that people wanted that most of the money spent on for market was housing. So a one-time opportunity really to support housing, which is major crisis community at this point. And I think that capital improvements is a huge issue for us, right? We know that we have $50 million in the next 10 years or whatever it is. And if we were to take $3 million and put it towards that, it's really a drop in the bucket, and it's not addressing the long term issue. To me, it seems like it's kind of kicking the can down the road a little bit. I'd like to deal with capital improvements and figure out a way that we can fund this $50 million need over the next 10 years or whatever it is, that we can figure out what it's exactly going to be. But, and I'm okay with putting some money from ARPA funds into capital improvements, but I have some thoughts I'd like to share regarding ARPA funds, and I thought I'd pass them on. So we had previously dispersed $1,850,000, and if we were to put $2 million towards capital improvements and still fund our city and township requests, $500,000 instead of $1 million, community action requests for child care business and individual $250,000, that would leave us with $1,800,000 for housing. And I'd like to see a good chunk of that $1,800,000 go right to Habitat for Humanity. At the same time, I really would like to deal with the CIP issue over the long term. It's not necessarily going to be ARPA. So that's kind of what I thought. I'd like to hear what other people have to say. Get some more funding for housing.
How many houses do you think the $1.8 million is
Well, my understanding, Sarah just gave us a number there. You said $1.5 million would do 17. And then the other thing that my understanding about Habitat for Humanity, so they're, let's say they're building a $300,000 house. People are qualifying for a $200,000 mortgage and they're going to lose it. So when they get the mortgage, that money goes back to the house and goes back. That's a
found as a no-interest loan. And when that house is sold, that money goes back to Habitat. I don't need to put it on the spot, but that's how I understand it. So really, when you're putting that money out there, it's going out and it's coming back. And so Habitat has this $5 million goal. And that would get them a good way towards their goal to accomplish this project that they need to accomplish.
How would you address the capital issue?
Well, how would we address the capital issue? I think we need to address it. Okay? And let's be real, where is $50 million coming from? It's going to come from the taxpayers. Is there another way to address it? Where was that? Where is that $50 million coming from? I mean, that's the only place I see it. That's where I'm on the phone from. And we're on the hook for that. And so I think at some point soon, we need to look at that realistically and say, well, this is what we need to come up with in these fingers and figure out how to do it. And I understand that this $2 million of ARPA funds for capital improvements have been certainly going to get us going for the next year or two. But it's going to be a lot more than that. I'd be willing to start looking at where that's coming from now. I don't think it's going to be an easy solution to figure out where $50 million is going to come from. But I think it's going to be a start thinking about that.
I have a different proposal, so I'll wait till everybody's done with his thought.
Any other thoughts on this proposal?
So I'm open to listen about the capital improvement amount, but I am not open to changing the funding for the $50,000 funding for cities, townships, and villages. And here's why. As I went through and I looked over the paperwork that we've received on the surveys, the community response for the ARPA funding, Harbor Springs, Petoskey Harbor Springs Area Community Foundation want to do a child care study in partnership with NCMC and Petoskey Harbor Community Foundation. Harbor Springs, if they got that $50,000, could potentially put in money for that, could help that group out. So that's helping their community. Bliss requested funding to help them with their road repairs. The statement like, Bliss Township roads seem tremendously, they're horrible amount of use from the tourist and biking activities, but if you've ever been out around by where the polo fields are, how bad the roads are out there. The Zudemac is out there, so they are waiting to hear from us to see how much they can do with a matching grant to get their roads repaired. They're one of the smallest township with the least amount of money coming in. Resort Township, they asked us to assist with construction of a handicap walking trail at Resort Township Pioneer Trails Park site. Possibly a pavilion next to the playground at East Lake Park, and possibly a rest facility there. That $50,000 could be a matching grant, $100,000 towards that child care, daycare. We keep hearing all of these words, so hear them as I read these reports down. Cross Village, they asked for support. They're looking for public health response for making an investment in Cross Village Township Hall for the installation of a sewer system and water infrastructure. They don't have bathroom facilities there. They're looking for a simple sink, a handicapped accessibility, and structure improvements to their building. That $50,000 would become $100,000. It could help them with their township hall. McKinley Township requesting funds to improve their ball field. They have one of the two Little Leagues in the northern area, ball fields that they maintain so that Little League can play and the kids can play, and they have a very small playground. They would like to expand that playground equipment so that a lot of the families in that area don't come to Petoskey. That's the playground that they go to. It's a very small playground. $50,000 could go a long way. That would be a $100,000 matching grant. One of the grandmothers wrote in there that she provides daycare for her grandchildren, and that park is an activity that they use as part of their daycare program. The Village of Pelston, we learned tonight from NLEA report that they have applied for a grant that will help in housing. We can vote today to give them support for that grant and match some of those fundings for the housing in Pelston. center townships are waiting again to hear. So last week was all of the road commission meetings. So several of them, if you remember, I talked about this in August. During the MTA meetings, Michigan Township Association meetings, our staff went to that meeting and said, don't use your ARPA funds all at once because I don't know what the Board of Commissioners are going to vote for. But whatever they vote for, you can use your ARPA funding and their ARPA funding. That's those matching partnership grants. So a lot of them are excited and waiting for us to make a decision on what we're going to allow for township, cities, and villages. A lot of them are going to use them for roads. So, again, road is a big, we've seen that a threat of that through all of the election and a lot of people saying about the roads. Here's some way we can supply some of those roads. Combining their ARPA funds and matching funds with Emmett County could mean more road projects completed. Several townships requested funds for generators, especially in the northern area. Our township halls become a meeting place. It's a place you can charge your battery, can get warm. A lot of people have wood stoves, but they also there's some propane and gas, and so this is meeting places. So I think that we should consider that. So let us give the cities, villages, and township the opportunity to use the ARPA matching funds to better the whole county by making improvements in their entities. So I would like to request that we keep that at $50,000 because I have heard housing, daycare, transportation, road, infrastructure from them, and I ask you to vote yes at least on that.
Proposal here, I had $500,000 for cities, townships, and requests, but if we were to keep it at the $50,000 per entity, that would bring us to $1,050,000.
I believe that that is what the...
And that would take away $550,000 from what I said. If we took that out of housing, that would still leave us $1,250,000 for housing. If we used the numbers that I did, and just adjusted that $500,000
I am just going to keep strongly advocating for that $50,000. However we decide on the rest of the money, I'd like to hear everybody else, but that is where my strong advocation is for the city.
I agree with Mr. Dreyer, and I will vote tight on that
$50,000. I also agree with that, and I wonder if it could even be more if we're going to pull money from somewhere. It seems like what Mr. Dreyer just pointed out has a larger impact on people in our county.
And those were just the ones that I could find. I'm sure that there's more, and remember that there's 16, there's 21 entities. And even in transportation, you know, we heard extra routes and all this stuff for transportation. If Petoskey and Harbor Springs want to put their $50,000, that's 100. Matching is $200,000. They could put daycare or some implication. So building those things that we talked about from the beginning about matching and partnership grants. Remember, they can do that themselves, how they utilize their dollars. So I'm advocating for the keep the 50. If you guys go higher, woohoo. But
So the other thing then is community action requests.
Yes.
And that's kind of put in with housing here. And in the proposal I gave, I separated housing out. Right? So I left $250,000 for community action requests. So I'm not sure,
because
there it says child care, business, individual. I'm not sure what we had in mind with that. That's something that it looks like.
Mr. Barter, can you put me on that
one? There was certainly requests from other groups besides just the townships, villages, and cities. Businesses, there was talk about getting money to some of the businesses that were hurt through COVID and looking at responses. That's really what those individuals and the businesses were. Those were ones that put in, as Ms. Squire was going through, there was other ones for individual requests too. And just in one other thing, that remember that we were looking to take whatever dollar amount that we were going to give for the Community Action Program and use that with one of our nonprofits to match those funds too. So if it was 500, whatever the dollar amount was, the goal is to have them double that. So that would go.
So the 250 would be doubled to 500?
Correct.
One of the issues with regard to housing is the sheer numbers that are needed. The Planning Commission has been intensely involved with the housing issue and approved a project, a $40 million project for 156 units that went through. But what it showed us was the cost of housing. In Alansa, meanwhile, is a project that I think is 300 units potentially or something like that of manufactured housing, which is going to be, when completed, a major improvement because it's going to provide low-cost housing to people in an area where I'll bet a transit bus could take people to work because you've got point A for once and point B is in Petoskey. So I think that is one of the primary solutions. Dave and I have toured the subdivision that Habitat is putting together. It's spectacular. It's going to help, but it's small and it's slow, and I'm not inclined to spend as much money on that when I think that a Lansing is going to solve the problem much more quickly. So I'm not inclined to support $1.8 million for housing. I like the grant. I like the community action request of $500,000. If you want to increase it a little bit to include more for housing, that's fine. But I am really quite concerned about the capital improvement issue. I mean, $3 million is a small bite of 50, but the people on the next board, one of their first conversations can be, well, how much are we going to raise taxes to pay for capital? And I don't really want to hand that to them. I don't think that's fair, and I don't think it's right for us. If $3 million or some close version of that allows us to address needs that serve the whole county, I think it's important to recognize that county government is not something that stands by itself. It's an institution that serves the whole county. And so when these dollars are put into it, it serves the county and it employs people to do the work. This is not money that all just leaves the community. So a slight increase in community action requests is fine with me, but I'm more inclined to use as much of $3 million as we can for capital.
So if we don't want to leave the next county commission to deal with the capital improvements issue, does that mean we want to deal with it in the next month and a half because it's coming up in the next few years?
Well, that's for a dialogue for everybody, but my thought is that let's use as much of that $3 million to just take a bite out of it to get it to start. It's not.
Where is this idea of Lansing?
It's the Conway Commons.
Is it?
It's a massive
project. Is that currently moving forward?
It's just waiting for a water issue to be resolved. Because
they need water containers, and once they're built and installed, then it's moving forward.
There are homes sitting. There are homes sitting there right now.
It's all private. I don't know anything about it, except it's a massive project.
I think Charlie's thought is it's addressing housing.
Yes. It's addressing housing massively. Mm-hmm. Near to town.
And with an issue that has to be solved.
It's out of our hands because mobile homes are regulated by the state. Yeah.
They're waiting for water trains to be built.
Yeah, it'll be in the land grant.
Sorry?
They won't own the land, but they'll be in the land grant.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I told you everything I know about it, and if I say any more, I'll.
I'm with you, Charlie. I just want to make sure.
I personally like to see Habitat get some funding because, as you said, Charlie, we're out there, they have houses already up, and they have houses on trailers waiting to go up and put the foundations in. So I don't know how slow they are moving. I'd like to see earmarked some specifically for them.
We do have this organization that is going to be. So there is that to consider. If we have, if we fund the city and township requests at $1,050,000 per entity, and we took that $550,000 difference out of the $1,800,000. We still have $1,250,000.
But you've taken $1 million out of capital.
We've taken $1 million out of capital, and we have and taken $250,000 out of community action requests. So there's still be $250,000 for other community action requests. And so if we have those numbers, we have $2 million for capital improvements, $1,050,000 for city and township requests, $250,000 for community action requests. $1,250,000 for would give us a significant amount of money that could go into housing. And some of that could go into a nonprofit that you mentioned before that could match it. And we could still fund it.
With Habitat, how many people do you employ to help build the homes that are local and contractors?
We have a construction crew internally and four individuals, and we hire two more. So we're using local businesses to support the plumbing, electrical, all of those different skill trades that we use. So it's a significant investment for our local clients.
Thank you.
I have a question, Beaumont. So if we're taking housing out of the community action request and giving them their own line item, is what you're proposing?
Well, that's, I wasn't sure it said housing, child care, business, individual.
Yeah, it's.
I thought I really want a specific earmark for housing.
So my question is they Habitat can't take two bites. If they take from one pot, they can't take.
That would be that community action request. That leaves us with child care, business, and individual for things that Mr. Borg is talking about, other than housing.
So the housing itself is not directly going to Habitat. Any housing entity could apply for that housing amount.
I would like to hear, Mark. Personally, I'd like to see it go to Habitat. If people would like to, or some of you would prefer to have some of it go to Habitat, and some of it go to a local, are you afraid to have a local?
Sure, like the Community Foundation. We've had conversations with the Community Foundation. They said they would match funding. So, I think that whatever dollar amount it is, they're going to match that funding. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important that we can double that. We talked about that from the beginning, the opportunities to match funds.
Day one.
With townships, villages, you know, that's critical. So that $50,000 becomes $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So if we had $1.2 million left for housing,
I'm a little concerned that we're labeling only two entities because Emmett County has housing, so has different housing things. So I don't want to label it. I have no problem with saying, okay, Habitat, we see what they're doing for us. I can say, all right, we can specify some dollars. But I like having a pot for housing so other entities have an opportunity to say, I'm important too.
Yeah. So okay. That would go, but is that why that would go through the Community Foundation, was my understanding?
Correct. Yeah. Going through the Community Foundation, we can set up standards on how we want this money allocated. And that's something when we get this all in place that we'll come back to you and say, here's the standard, single family homes, mm-hmm. we're looking for this, this, and this. So we would have those standards that we would work with whatever nonprofit it was to give it out based on this criteria.
I feel better about that.
So I want to make sure I understand the dollar amount.
Okay.
Yeah, the amount we're divvying up is $4,505,000. Is that correct?
Well, it's $6,400,000.
No, we're not. No,
minus,
we're
already, minus the $1,800,000.
Yeah, all right. So what does that give us then?
Well,
4.5.
4.5 million. 4.5. And then it looks like it's 505 because there was 1,050,000. Or 4.55, right?
So I just took the $6,400,000 and I subtracted $1,850,000 that we've already distributed.
Well, I want to just deal with the amount that we have now so my scribbles make
before
sense.
Before you start throwing that in there, I also want to point out, I like the $500,000 amount that's there. I don't want to see that cut back to $250,000.
All right.
For what's that, Mike?
For the community action requests for child care and business.
But when it's there, it says housing, community, housing, child care, business, and individual. And if you take out $250,000
but housing, if you're splitting and taking out just for housing, then I'm worried that
if there's $500,000 there.
That's $1 million, though, Matt, because I understand, I think what Mike is saying is that those are matching grants. That's $1 million sitting there.
For community action requests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's not $500,000.
All right, so if we start with $4,550,000 and we subtract $1,050,000, that leaves $3.5 million to sort out between capital and community action. And for simplicity's sake, if we just say capital and community action, I can actually understand this.
Mm-hmm.
So if we say we are down to, what did I say, so?
3.5
between capital and community action, and if we say I still want 3 in capital, and we'll screw around with this for a minute, so don't panic, that the left is $1.5 million for community action. Is that correct? Did I do that right?
No, you have $3 million in capital. If you look on the sheet, you had $3 million in capital. You had $1,050,000 in township village requests, and you had $500,000 in community action.
All right, so for simplicity's
sake, you added money to
the... We could simply say there are two items, capital, which is now at 3, and community action, which is now at $500,000. If we're going to add anything to community action, it has to come out of capital. And the question of how much are we going to take out of capital? And the more we take out of capital, the more the future board has to deal with. But if we say community action remains a combination of housing and everything else, I can grasp it much more easily. So if we say, okay, we'll take a little out of capital, $250,000, we'll add it to community action, make it $750,000, and most of that goes to housing, but not all to one agency. We have done a bit of a compromise, and that's what I would support.
That's a pretty big compromise on housing, I think. It's a pretty small percentage of this whole thing going into housing, especially if you're splitting up with child care businesses. I'd rather have a specific amount we're going to say this is going to go into housing, you know, and then we can figure out where it's going to go with housing. But I think we need to earmark money for housing.
Okay. So you're going to take a bunch out of community action.
So here's what I got with if we fund everything at $50,000, or fund the city and township request at $50,000 each, which gives us $1,050,000. Didn't touch that at all. So that leaves us with $2 million for capital improvements, and we can go back to that. It would leave us with $1,050,000 for city and township requests, which is untouched. It would leave us $250,000 for community action requests.
All right, hold on. I'm taking notes, and I've lost already. Cities, villages, and townships $1,050,000. Capital is $2 million.
Yes.
And then what did
community
you say?
Community action requests $250,000. And then housing would be $1,250,000 left if we could divide that how we wanted with whatever entity.
What was community action again?
Community action is child care business and individual at $250,000.
Yet again, that's the one I would like to stay at $500,000 for the matching.
Could we agree on leaving the community action request at the $500,000, taking $1 million out of the county capitals, leaving $2 million, put $1 million into housing? That would leave everything on the board except we're changing county capital from 3 to 2 and adding a line item that is housing at $1 million.
I'm with you on that. The only question is then with the $500,000 community action request, what is that? That's the only other thing that I'm
Well, that's the programming that... That's the programming we set our matching funds specifically. Yeah. That would end up being $1 million. So put county capital at $2 million.
Yeah.
City township request $1,050,000. What's on there? Leave community action request at $500,000. We're making a new line item, housing, $1 million.
$1 million for housing. And then the next question becomes, can we figure out that housing?
We have to give staff some idea of how to write that down or what we're doing with that.
That's not something we need tonight. I'd like to
I didn't have a comment. I think you have to give us a little bit of time to put those in really some direction from you on what you want to see in that housing. Do you want to see single-family housing? Do you want to see money going towards the three projects that are out there? I think we need some guidelines on what we want. Our recommendation would be single-family homes. It could be a habitat. It could be another type of development that's going on in the community. I don't disagree Habitat does a great job, but there are other builders building homes out there, and I think you have to give the opportunity. The reason we looked at the Community Foundation or another nonprofit is to double those funds. Mm-hmm. If Habitat came back to us and say that we'll take a dollar a month and say we gave them $500,000 and they will match that, I think that would be so that 500 would become a million. I think that would be something that we would recommend to you. But the goal of this is to try to get those funds matched so we can do the most with the dollar amount that we have.
So then we could make a motion tonight to put $2 million into county capital, the $1,550,000 into city township request. Basically what's on our paper, that leaves $1 million that's still for staff to come up or to find some idea or bring back in a writing like we're looking at here.
Wait, but Tony, I was with you halfway through.
Okay.
$1,050,000 for cities, villages, and townships. Got that capital, $2 million.
Yep.
And then we got $500,000 left.
Well,
$500,000. Yeah, exactly. Community action.
There's only a million for housing.
Is that what you were saying?
Leave the $1 million out for tonight for housing until we get further guidance or information to say where that's actually.
Give further guidance. Mm-hmm.
But we agree that $1 million goes into housing. That's part of the motion, right?
Yep.
It's not housing, or determined later.
I think if you do that, then we can come back with the guidelines for that, just like we need to come back with the guidelines for the $500,000 for the community action on the other side of it. So housing, community action, we come back. We at least have now a number to work with and something that we can bring back to you.
Well, one of the issues then with regard to community action is, I think we were talking about the Petoskey Harbor Springs Community Foundation as being an arbiter that would sort of sort out where this money goes.
We have to give them direction and guidance to do that.
Because that's a Petoskey Harbor Springs centered organization that leads the northern part of the county out.
I think we have to give direction.
Yeah,
where
we're going
to
go. All right, so then what you folks are suggesting is simply providing dollar amounts, but not specifics, that say $1,050,000 to cities, villages, and townships, $2 million for capital. Community action, $500,000, and something called housing, $1 million.
Basically what we have for tonight, except we're taking $1 million out of the $3 million here and making a new line item that needs to come back to us.
Okay. All right. So, well, let me try this. If you hate it, just don't even second it. I move to allocate $2 million for county capital improvements, $1,050,000 matching funds for cities, villages, and townships, $500,000. I said two for capital, right? $1,050,000 matching, $500,000 community action, $1 million for housing. Is that what we said?
Yes.
From the ARPA funds. Okay, that's my motion.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Now we're open for discussion. Again.
Thank you.
And I'm just trying to reflect on
what I want to make sure everybody discusses.
So I want to push back, of course, you know what I'm going to push back on. I want to see some of this commitment of this $1 million for Habitat. I know you're going to want to look at that. Is that kind of what you're going to tell me?
I want to look at all the options where we can match the funding.
Any other discussion?
Should we have in the motion, and I know we have legal sitting right here, should we have in the motion that $1 million is still being decided on? How am I trying to word this? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I do. I don't think you have to, because by virtue of the discussions that has taken place tonight, I think it's understood what's to happen next. And I have to say, if it were to be designated for one particular user, like Habitat, at this point, we don't have any sort of an agreement or guidelines or details on how that would be arranged or set up, or whether, you know, how the funds would flow and doing the necessary due diligence for that. So I think as you are right now, you are in a good position.
Could we stipulate that in the housing, a good chunk of that million, and we picked a number, would go to development of single family units, or
I think, Matt, I think staff knows that, and I think that we haven't decided that part of it, so that will come back to us, and we'll make those decisions. If not in December, then the new board sitting out there will.
We would like to have this all wrapped up before the end of the year, so we will come back to you.
Call the question, please.
Commissioner White.
Yes.
Commissioner McGinnis.
Yes.
Commissioner Wargo.
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons.
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz.
Yes.
Commissioner Dreyer.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Charlie, we're always dealing with the past decisions.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, true. Absolutely.
That's half of what we've been doing for the last few years.
You just handed the new guys another one.
Oh, that's good.
All right. Moving into new business, hybrid DUI drug court grant with Circuit Court. We had a presentation from Judge Deegan.
What you have tonight before you is their grant application, and that the grant was awarded. This is really for approval of the grant and to accept the funds. That's one. And then the second portion of that, that's what we have up here. But you do the second portions for the $6,600 and some odd to be put into their budget for next year. So we can
pass one and then have a 1A?
Correct.
First item before us then is the motion to approve the FY23 Michigan Drug Court Grant Program Operational and Planning Grant in the amount of $8,000 and authorize County Administrator to sign any and all required documents to implement this grant on behalf of the board.
You just make the motion.
I'll second.
You did make the motion.
You can.
All right, we'll keep on trucking. Any discussion? Roll call.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner Dreyer?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner
Wargo?
Yes.
Commissioner McGinnis?
Yes.
Commissioner
White. Yes. And the second portion of that really is a budgeting question for 23. They were short in their grant $6,677. I would recommend that we put that in the budget, the 23 budget that you haven't approved yet, and you just have it in front of you. We can add that in there. And then also look at the potential funding through some of the grants.
So you don't need a motion
now?
We will just add it into the budget.
So your budget will change?
By $6,700.
So we have to have
I just read the whole thing.
The
whole thing.
I'm sorry.
We have to have a roll call vote because we're deciding money.
Won't be. This is going to be part of your budget. This right. will be added into
we haven't
the
approved
budget.
The budget yet.
Right. So just so I'm clear, this
$6,777
will be budgeted in 2023 for the purpose of this setting up the drug court, and that will be approved when we approve the budget.
Correct.
And that will be part of it.
That will be just part of the budget.
All right, moving on. Next item is to set a public hearing.
We didn't need it because it's just going to be pulled into the budget.
The grant is done.
We need to set a public hearing to close out the CDBG grant MSP 2015-0737 HOA and to establish the Homeowner Rehabilitation Emergency Repairs Program for Emmett County. That's all I'm going to say.
We pretty much said it all. We're looking at doing that Thursday, November 17th at 5:45.
And there's a motion in front of us.
I'll make the motion, Chair. I move for the board to set a public hearing to act on closeout of CDBG grant MSP-2015-0737-HOA and announce that M County is proposing to use the $47,719.93 in CDBG funds for homeowner rehabilitation to be held on Thursday, November 17, 2022 at 5:45 p.m. in the Board of Commissioners Room, M County Building, 200 Division Street, Petoskey, Michigan. As part of the motion, the county clerk is requested to provide public notice of the public hearing on the county's website and local newspaper.
I will second.
We have a motion to second. Any discussion? Hearing and roll call, please.
Commissioner Wardle?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner McGinnis?
Yes.
Commissioner Dreyer?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes. Next item under new business is an MDOT contract for federal, state, and local airport project.
This was a grant that you already we already received through the FAA. All the monies from FAA are run through MDOT. So what we have before you is the money that was awarded to us is going to be funneled through MDOT. This is the standard. All of the contracts run through any federal grants run through MDOT as a clearinghouse for the state.
I move the board approve the resolution authorizing the acceptance of grant contract 2022-1009 between the Michigan Department of Transportation and the County of Emmett for instruction removal, environmental assessment, crack sealing, design and construction, rehabilitate runways, taxiways A, B, and C, reconstruct taxiways A, B, and C, reconstruct taxiways A, B, and C lighting design, for the total project amount of $1,012,862, and authorize the county administrator to sign the second.
I'll second it.
We have motion second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, roll call.
Commissioner Aarons.
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz.
Yes.
Commissioner White.
Yes.
Commissioner McGinnis.
Yes.
Commissioner Breyer.
Yes.
Commissioner Wardle.
Yes.
Motion carries. Next item is B-Bus Interior Painting, Birch Neighborhood RFP. Mr.
We are the neighborhoods that are open right now. We're going through and doing the renovations that we've talked through. I talked about this is a bid that was put on the street. We had one vendor submit an application. We're having a very difficult time trying to find these smaller projects vendors, but this is one that went out from RFP. We think it's a decent price, not the best price, but we'll get that repainted. And the goal of what we're trying to do is the wings that are open right now is trying to get those completed so we can move the residents that are there into these and make renovations on the other wings. So this is the start of that process.
We have a motion for
it. Chair, I move to approve the bid from National Painting Contractors for the painting of approximately 10,000 square feet of interior wall and ceiling in the amount of $16,800 and authorize the county administrator to sign the purchase order and any other required documents to facilitate the transaction.
Second. A motion and a second. Any discussion on painting? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Wardle?
Yes.
Commissioner Dreyer?
Yes.
Commissioner Lewis? Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes. Next item on the agenda is an RFP for a new Type 3 ambulance. Mr. Boyer.
This is something that's in our capital needs project. We're happy to report that we think they have one available for us. We don't have to wait for the normal 360-day turnaround, so the turnaround is much quicker. This helps us get us back on schedule on replacement of the vehicles. We have one bid for this and met all of our requirements. $281,922 for new ambulance.
I move to approve the purchase of the Braun Chief XL Type 3 ambulance with the included option of a Chevrolet G4500 gas chassis. The purchase shall include a Striker power load, cot retention system, and graphics to match current fleet, and authorize the county administrator to sign the attached contract on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners.
Second.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion on the ambulance? Hearing none, roll call.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Dreyer?
Yes.
Commissioner Pence?
Yes.
Commissioner Wardle?
Yes.
Commissioner McGinnis?
Yes.
Commissioner Aaron?
Yes.
Motion carries. Next item on new business is delinquent debt collection services, non-medical.
This is part of the medical debt that we did before. We're also looking at the non-medical debt that the county has. Actually, it's the same company as the team vetted these out. RSI came out the best one in the proposal. It will be kind of nice to work with the same company for both medical and non-medical, but RSI came out as the one that the staff recommend to move forward with.
Motion
from the board. Chair. I move to approve the proposal from RSI Enterprises Incorporated to perform collection services on past due accounts and authorize the county administrator to sign the purchase order and any other required documents to facilitate the transaction.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion regarding the debt collection services? Hearing none. Roll call.
Commissioner Dreyer?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner McGinnis?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Wardwell?
Yes.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Motion carries. Next item on new business is Harbor Springs Downtown Development Authority. Mr. Boyer.
I ask our attorney, Mr. Jopic, just to give you a brief history on this. I think some of you are familiar and some might not be.
Sure. Yes, this is something that has been happening through the DDA in Harbor Springs since at least 2015. And in that year, the city DDA adopted a three-year tax increment financing plan and a development plan. So that just for everybody's understanding, a DDA is a downtown development authority, and they can establish what are called TIFs, or tax increment financing, which allows them to capture a part of the county taxes and use it as the DDA in Harbor Springs alone. And they're in fact not in the entire city, but in a portion of the city that's called a DDA district. So they can reach out to certain taxing jurisdictions and capture some of the tax funding paid for the county taxes, apply it in that area. In 2015, this was implemented for a three-year development plan and TIF capture for 2015, 2016, and 2017. At that time, the county made a decision that it didn't want the entire amount of its taxes captured or for the entire period, so it came back and said, and the parties agreed, that the DDA and the city and the county agreed to only capture 2 years of 4.85 millage at the time. And after 2 years, it would be no more. The capture would be discontinued. That three-year period ended, and a new or amended TIF plan and development plan was adopted by the DDA for another, this time for a five-year capture. At that time, the county decided it wanted to continue exempting its taxes from capture for that entire five-year period and continue the way it was had already established it. That five-year period has now come up, and we're in 2022, and a new TIF plan is being put forward by the DDA in Harbor Springs for what is a 15-year capture of, and they propose to capture the county's taxes again. At this point, you, the county, has already exempted your taxes from any further capture. So what we've done is, obviously, it's your decision whether you want to reverse course and allow capture going forward for that 15-year period, or do you want to continue what you've already done and not and keep the status quo. So we prepared two resolutions for you to consider. One is to continue with the exemption of your county taxes from capture by the DDA, and the other one is to discontinue your exemption from capture. So those are the two alternatives that are put forward. There are two proposed motions, as you can see there, one for each of the opposing resolutions, and it's up for your discussion.
Steve, this, your write-up is fabulous. It's the district in which I represent. I went to the two meetings, the two recent meetings, the public hearing and then the city council meeting where they voted to adopt the ordinance. The thing that they didn't make clear was the set point, because if I'm correct with TIFs, you have a starting point. Typically, it's some zero, and then and as the taxes go up from zero, or from that set point, then they begin taking money. But they started their set point about, what, 5 years ago or 4 years ago?
Yes, it's called a baseline, and I believe what they're attempting to do is continue the baseline from the original time.
Yeah, which is up to, interesting, because 5 years ago when I and a previous administrator had a conversation with them, the amount that they were going to take was only, I don't know, $16,000. And so, hey, it's not much money. Well, it's $55,000 now. And the pool that's responsible for that has got four $1.5 million condominiums on it, which are captured now with TIF money, if I understand. So, anyway, thank you for your analysis.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Motion.
Neil, given what you said in the paper, I thought you could read that three times. You want me to read it?
If I may, Mr. Chair. I don't think it's necessary to read the entire resolution, if that's...
No, I was just teasing you.
Oh, okay.
Well, unless somebody else wants to read it, I got to get this right. If I get the wrong one, grab me. I move to adopt the resolution affirming exemption of taxes from the capture. Did I read the right one, Neil? By Harbor Springs Downtown Development Authority as presented.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion. A second. Any discussion on the motion?
I'd like to just clarify that that is to maintain the status quo by continuing with the exemption.
That is correct, yes.
Thank you, Tony.
Any other discussion on accepting an exemption? Roll call.
Commissioner Kuntz.
Yes.
Commissioner Wardle.
Yes.
Commissioner White.
Yes.
Commissioner McGinnis.
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons.
Yes.
Commissioner Dreyer.
Yes.
Motion to exempt. Yes. Our next item on the agenda is closed session regarding privilege, attorney client privilege.
Motion to go into closed session. Move to enter into a closed session pursuant to subsection 8D and HA of the Michigan Open Meetings Act for purposes of 1. Discussing and consulting with the county's attorney regarding a privileged attorney-client legal opinion and correspondence from the attorney, and 2. To consider the purchase or lease of real property. This motion must be approved by a 2/3 roll call vote.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is second. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Dreyer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Wardle?
Yes.
Commissioner McGinnis?
Yes.
We're going into closed session. When we come out, we will have public comment and then adjournment. There will be no action taken. We have 5 minutes.